Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome to little CFTV Live. That's what we're calling it. Hey, what's up?
What's up, guys?
You may be listening to this in podcast form later on, too, if you're driving around the 4th of July weekend. God bless America. I'll say that to you right now. I am going to make some jorts later, Jared.
Are you really?
Yeah, I actually have some jeans laid out that I'm going to cut into jorts later on.
You didn't reply to my tweet yesterday.
Why? What did you tweet at me?
I asked you if they're just for the 4th or if they will be...
No.
I feel like these will jorts that end up with multiple uses. I can already tell.
I think you're probably onto something.
Yeah. I can already tell you're going to be standing out at the local fishing hole with your jorts.
No
shirt and your Busch Light.
I think you're onto something. You're absolutely onto something. The Bondurant's got that nice little lake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Lake Pataca?
Yeah.
What are you doing over the 4th? You can come down and hang out with us. Good small town feel.
Definitely. I am staying in Central Iowa. This is my first 4th of July in Central Iowa.
Oh, there's
Iowa,
a lot so to do here.
Yeah, I have no idea. Adam told me I can go to the parade in Urbandale with him on Monday. So
you don't want to do that. If you're going to go to a parade, go to the one in Ames.
I said, as long as there a place where I can consume adult beverages, I'll be perfectly fine.
I'm going down, the Carpers and I, we're going down to Pella.
Ooh, okay.
Apparently there's a big deal in Pella on the 5th. I don't know.
I have no idea, but I believe you.
Sent me like a whole rundown of like what's going on. So if you live in Pella and you're watching or listening, we're coming to town. Get ready. My little girl, you'll hear her screaming 10 miles away. Okay, so we're doing this today thanks to our friends from Agrigold. We're going to have these live videos. We're continuously working out kinks, but we're getting better at them, I think. And it's all thanks to our friends at Agrigold. God bless them. Dave Hansaker, we love you. And we're going to keep working on this. But the videos, man, it's really nice. I don't know if you've gone back and watched. It's nice, smooth video. So thanks to Agrigold for that. We're going to have this thing in tip-top working condition by the time that the football season rolls around, along with our shiny new website. So we're looking forward to that, too. But today, we're launching like 3 podcasts on one day. There is a method to our madness. It's because it's the 4th and you guys are all traveling around. We're giving you plenty of ammo to listen to. Don't listen to the podcast if the kids are with you. Got a little out of hand yesterday. But other than that, these should all be very safe for the family to be playing, you know, if the kids are in the back. All these bratty kids anymore, they all have their DVD players in the back of the van and stuff. It's not like when we were kids and you actually had to read a freaking book. Whatever.
I actually had a DVD player when I was a kid.
Not surprising.
I was not more of a Game Boy Color type guy playing my Pokemon.
That's the least surprising thing I've ever heard. I was back there reading Sports Illustrated for Kids. You're playing Pokemon.
Sports Illustrated for Kids is the GOAT publication.
You remember when you would try and they give you the cards and you'd tear them out of there?
And they were awful. It was impossible to tear them.
Oh, yeah, but it was always really good athletes.
Yeah.
It's like, man, Michael Jordan, Shaq, Penny Hardaway, man, I hit the jackpot here.
Yeah.
And that's dating myself.
And then they rip in half when you try and tear them out the...
Garbage. But nonetheless, these will all be safe for the children. We're going to... I haven't been to the Cap City League yet. I'm going to try and go next week. But the problem with the Cap City League this year, from afar, Jared's been almost every night, and I want to get his analysis on the Iowa State guys here about midway point. Is it midway or is it championship coming up?
Yeah, it's pretty close to midway.
Okay.
Here, I can pull the schedule.
The newcomers aren't there every night.
Yeah, that's
an issue.
This is really it's pretty spotty. Like every single night it's different guys are the ones that are showing up.
You just never know who's going to be there.
I still haven't seen Jacoby Long play. I haven't even seen him because just the nights that I've been there, if he did play, I mean, I already went home when his team finally played or you know, something like that. And it's just you never know who's going to show up on a given night. And that's really hard for the league. It's really hard for the other guys on the teams. And
that's not good for the league.
No, it's not good for the league at all.
Because, man, it used to just be you knew every night, like somebody's going to be there.
Right. Well,
and
you usually know. I mean, Naz is almost always there. Deontay Burton's pretty much always there. But – other than that, it's just spotty. You don't know who's going to be there on a given night, and you could get there, and there could be nobody there, you know. And then it's like, and no offense to all those guys that aren't the Iowa State guys, But I don't really go to watch them play.
Nobody,
at all,
you know? Sorry guys, but nobody cares about you. We'll come watch you during your actual season, but they're not going to the Cap City League to watch the, you know,
the Drake guys. Sorry, Drake.
I didn't want to say it, but win some games, Drake, and maybe we'll come and watch you. Okay, but what's humor me here? Because you have seen, you haven't seen Jacoby Long, but you've seen some of these other guys. Who of all the Iowa State guys who, and you can't say Matt Thomas, Monte Morris, Naz. Who's been the most impressive? Give us. Is it Merrill Holden? Is it Daryl Bowie? Is it any of the newcomers? Give me something here.
I've only
give
seen
me something to chew on.
I've seen Merrill Holden once.
He's kind of a dog, isn't he?
He was the most impressive one of all the guys that I've seen, just because. I mean, he's a legit Big 12 athlete.
Yeah.
You know, he's, and everything else that I've heard is that he is a very, very good basketball player. So he impressed me on his one night that I saw him. Jacoby Long apparently has played very well as also. I think he scored 30 points in the only game that I saw him play.
Or the only game
that I've seen his stats from, because okay. I think that's the only game he's played in.
Okay.
So, I mean, you score 30
he's
points
a big
in your
dude.
Only game. Yeah.
He may be a freshman, but he actually has a Big 12 body.
Definitely. Well, and then Solomon Young, he was knocking down three-pointers and stuff like that. I had no idea that he had that capability.
You're high on him, it seems like.
I think he's got the potential of all of those guys, those freshmen, like Cameron Large, Colby Long, and Solomon, I'd say he has the best chance to actually make like an impact this season.
Really? Well, I guess that does make sense because Large's not here yet.
He just looks like you look at him and it's like, okay, that guy could play basketball in the Big 12.
He reminds me of a young Melvin Edgem.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because I don't think he's very skilled, is he?
No, not like...
He's just more...
He's not a guy that you... Like, if he scored 20 points, you'd be surprised. Like, in a real game.
Yeah.
Know? But he's a guy that I think could add, like, 8 points and 5 rebounds, you know?
Yeah, and that's kind of what Edgem was about his freshman year.
For sure. It looks like... sorry, going back to the schedule. It looks like there's two nights next week, Sunday and Wednesday, and then it's the tournament right after that, two days of the tournament.
Okay, so say that again. Like, give me actual dates.
10th and 13th are the last two regular season nights.
Okay.
So the two nights that I won't be there. And then the 15th, 17th are the tournament.
So a week from Sunday is championship night.
2 weeks from
Sunday. 2 weeks from Sunday is championship night.
Yeah.
I'll go to that.
There you go.
Because they actually play.
Definitely.
Like they play hard when they're – that's a fun night.
Yeah. And
are
I
they
think,
doing like a dunk contest?
Yeah, they always do a dunk contest. And before the – or like in between the semifinals, I think, is when they usually do it.
Are you going to participate this year?
I'm not going to participate, but I'm sure Garrett Kroger will be there to get video of it.
Oh yeah, you're gonna be gone.
Well, no, I'll be okay. There for that.
Oh, okay, we'll just send Krogs with the video camera.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
That's good. Okay, so I want to go back to analyzing these individual guys here real quick based off of what we've seen. Here's a little birdie from a pretty good guy who knows a lot about Merrill Holden. Mm-hmm. I'll just say this. And you guys can read into it. He's coached at Iowa State before and also coached against Merrill Holden in that conference. So he told me that this guy's like a Jamari Traylor type. He said if he had to pick one on his team, he'd probably take Merrill Holden. Now, you take that for what it's worth. Jamari Traylor was pretty terrible last year for a while too, though.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that you can see like the athleticism that he's got that ability to stand in the short corner and just catch dunks, mm-hmm. kind of what Jamari Traylor always did.
Yeah.
And then he seems like a guy that can hustle and grab rebounds. But he's more skilled than that. Like, I feel like he's more skilled than Jamari Traylor was.
Yeah, I don't think
he's as tall as Jamari Traylor was either.
Well, that's kind of where I was led to believe that, like, he'll be able to pop out and hit shots where Traylor – the thing I like about Holden, though, when I talk to him – I've only talked to him once – but he was, like, all about defense.
Yeah.
Like, he did – and maybe it's just him talking, but I don't think it is. Like, I don't think he really cares how many points he scores, which on this team is important.
I think that he wants to win.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's really what it is, yeah. And it's not like they weren't winning at Louisiana Tech. I think they won 25 games last year.
Yeah.
You know? So, I think he just wants to be able to get to the highest level and prove that he can do his thing and – has a lot of ability.
What about Bowie? How's he been?
He's a guy I've only seen a couple times too, and He honestly has not – he's not really like a folk – a main like guy of his team, I feel like.
Really?
Like he is, but at the same
That's
time –
That's not encouraging.
It's not like – he's not out there scoring 25 points or anything like that. He's not firing up a bunch of shots. But you also have to take into account that Naz is taking like 50 shots a game, you know.
So is that team like the best team?
No.
What's the best team?
Monte's team, probably.
Who is with Monte? Like what Iowa State guy?
Wes Grader.
Really?
Yes.
Wes coming along?
No.
How's Stu doing?
Stu is actually, I will say that Stu does some things sometimes that impress me.
Like what?
Like there'll just be a time where he'll make a move and I'll be like, okay, yeah, I see what you're doing there. Or he'll knock, I think he knocked down back-to-back threes in a game.
Do you think you can beat Stu one-on-one?
I don't want to get into that.
I saw you tweeted at one point that somebody had posterized him.
Yeah, Simeon Carter did.
Oh, okay. Simeon doing?
I will say that Simeon Carter has impressed me. He seems like one of the few guys that like genuinely enjoys playing in the Cap City League.
That would make sense. Do you remember his inappropriate gestures that were caught on camera last year?
Yeah.
Simeon, after that, seems to me like a Cap City League guy.
Yeah, he definitely is. He's that guy that's out there hustling, grabbing 15 rebounds, and trying to just dunk on people and stuff like that.
Yeah, that doesn't exactly carry over.
Doesn't play a lot of defense. I will say that. He's almost like a revolving door.
It's par for the course from what I heard about Simeon last year.
Yeah. But I will say that he has offensive ability. Like, he looks like a guy that you – or, I mean, he you can tell there's potential for him on the offensive side of the ball.
Okay, who plays more minutes next year, Cameron Lard or Simeon Carter?
Man, I don't know. Probably
– it's got to be Carter.
Yeah, it's got to be Carter just because, like, I feel like they're going to be somewhat similar, you know, like in similar type of boat.
That's why I
asked. But he'll just have that 1 year extra where
okay.
it's like.
Who plays more minutes, Simeon Carter or Solomon Young?
Oh, Solomon Young.
Not close?
Not without a doubt.
I like hearing that. That's good. Yeah. That's good to hear.
I think Simeon Carter could be a guy that could really give you a good contribution in his junior year.
You were like screaming play him last year.
That's because he's 6'10" and if you can go out there and as long as you're not completely 100% incompetent, why not? You know?
Yeah.
Like, but I mean, maybe he was completely 100% incompetent on the defensive end. Like, I don't know. You know, like, I can tell you he's not a good defensive player.
It doesn't help when you're, in all seriousness this time, when you're caught on camera in the middle of
a game.
Serious games doing self-pleasuring gestures. Is that the best? I told the parents that we wouldn't swear. Or anything.
Yeah.
Is that the best way to describe what Simeon was doing?
Yeah, probably.
I think if I remember the gesture correctly,
he made a couple different gestures.
Yeah, I mean,
didn't
it kept happening.
Yeah,
him and like Hallis, I believe.
Yeah.
And Hallis wasn't exactly in.
We'll just say that Hallis was the ringleader, and Simeon's turned over a new leaf now.
Hey, that's what happened with Abdul when Bryce Dijon-Jones left.
Yeah, there you go.
So, well, we'll see.
But, yeah, I mean, Simeon Carter's on the same team as Matt Thomas. And
that's a nice little pair.
That's a group that I honestly think could surprise somebody in the tournament just because they can shoot threes well.
I love Matt Thomas.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun. He seems a lot more confident, too. Just firing it up, you know.
He blew me away last year. Was it last year when he was coming off of his the legal trouble?
I thought it was after his freshman year. It might have been last year, though.
Yeah, whatever. But I just remember talking to him at the CCL.
Well, didn't him and because him and Abdul both got suspended for that first scrimmage that year.
Yeah.
Or the exhibition.
Oh, by the way, I did a little digging because a bunch of schedules were released yesterday. Iowa State's won't be till like late July.
Why? Just because they're still trying to put it together?
No. It's because of the Orlando tournament.
Oh.
They're waiting on the AdvoCare folks to tell them who their first round matchup's going to be against. They don't want to release like a not complete schedule.
Yeah.
I asked that yesterday because Iowa came out yesterday, so I immediately go, oh, that's weird. When's Iowa State's come out?
So AdvoCare's the ones that like set the first round matchups?
No, it's ESPN.
Oh, okay.
Who does it? But AdvoCare's the sponsor of the tournament. It's the old Spice Challenge.
I was going to say they need to get Matt Campbell in on this with his with his Spark.
So when I was interviewing Campbell yesterday, he was drinking Spark.
Well, oh, of course he was.
I drink Spark. I love it.
So he's like actually like a legit he's a big fan of Spark. Like, it wasn't even like a ruse for his video, his tires video.
He drinks Spark.
There we go.
Do you ever have it? It's good.
I haven't. No.
I can sell you some.
There we go. Just what I needed on the podcast today.
You gotta love the Advocare guys. You're always trying to sell you their products.
Are you really an Advocare guy?
I like it. I don't like.
Okay, I thought I was like asking if you really like sell it.
I can, but I don't like actively try and do it. Yeah. I just did it so I could get the discount.
I was gonna say you have the
because I buy enough.
You have the perfect medium to just sell kinds of Advocare to everybody.
I will not do that to you guys. I promise. Anyways, okay, so you're clearly most impressed by Solomon Young. So Daryl Bowie's the interesting one to me, though, because this worries me. Mm-hmm. What you said about Daryl Bowie, here's why. Generally, you can't, like, if a guy is going nuts at the Cap City League, you can't take much into it.
Right.
Because it's, like, I genuinely think we could throw you out there and you could score 15 in a game.
Yeah.
In the Cap City
League. I feel like I could. I feel like Adam Gray could score 15 points in a game.
I don't. He would be winded. But, but the thing that I have seen over the years, though, if a guy's not producing in that league,
yeah,
that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's an issue.
And
why is Daryl Bowie, who once was averaging 14 points a game in the MAC, it's the MAC, but it's still a hell of a lot more high level than the Cap City League, why is he not producing?
I want to find one of the games he played in because
you've got me spooked. I thought that Daryl Bowie was a guy I was really excited about. And now you've got me a little bit questioning him.
And that's not what I'm trying to do. You know, I think.
Are you being hyperbolic about how bad he's been?
No, I just don't think that he is a guy that's going to fill a role where it's like you're going to be the second best player on the team.
We don't need that.
What you do need at Cap City.
Well, I don't care about Caps. I want to know how it's going to translate to the Cyclones this fall.
Okay, so here is a game from, I think this was early. This was like Wednesday.
Okay.
He was 5 of 12, 5 of 8 from inside of 2, and 0 of 4 from 3 with 6 rebounds and 13 points.
That's disappointing. He needs to have more than 6 rebounds in the Cap City League. Sorry.
I would agree with that.
He must not be trying very hard. I mean, if you look at him, he's a dude.
Yeah. I mean, he looks like a legit.
So my point is that guy must not be taking it very seriously.
And would I be surprised by that? No.
The majority of them really don't.
Well, he had 38 points in the game when Naz scored 70. But they were playing against a team without any Iowa State guys.
He had 38 in the game that Naz scored 70. What a line.
Him and Naz combined for 110 points in that game.
I love Cap City League box score. So we did this thing like 2 years ago where we had like an acquaintance and they just sold their company, like the Turney Pool guys or whatever it was. They sold it to like Sports Illustrated. They just made a killing on it. But these guys were like pitching us for me to like create like legitimate like Capital City League stats, and like so I had to put in all of the box scores every night. This was 2 summers ago, and I was by the end of it like I'm not kidding, suicidal would be the way to describe me after entering every box score from every Cap City League game. So like I know all about the crazy Cap City League stats, but I think the one you just threw at me might be the craziest one I've ever heard.
Yeah, 110 points from that's I didn't even realize that. Well, and then like you look at last or the other night, Naz shot 19 of 44, 10 of 30 from 3.
He chucked 44 shots.
Yeah, 33 pointers.
God, I really want to talk to Naz right now. I got to get Naz on the podcast after reading these stats.
It was funny because he was shooting him from half court, like everywhere. He got across half court and it was time to fire it up.
And Naz was probably like, he had that like cocky grin on his face too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His team lost the game though against a team that didn't have any Iowa State guys.
Honestly though, and though like we cover him, we're not supposed to get that close to him. It's going to really suck when Matt, Naz, and Monte leave.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucked when George left. But, like, when you got 3 of those guys, like, here's the deal about the Hoiberg era. The guys he recruited, like, these type of, were so cool. Mm-hmm. The 4-year guy, like, he didn't have many 4-year guys, but when he did, he didn't miss on many. And they're awesome kids. Young men, whatever you want to call them. They're really cool dudes. I'm going to miss those guys. Naz and George Like the combo of those two. And then Monte's like really – have you noticed like a change since you started covering Iowa State? Like Monte is so much like lighter now than he used to be.
They're just – they're all very accommodating.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, they
like
love talking to us.
Right. They're all welcome to – like they're all welcoming to talking at any time.
And they love the fans.
Yeah.
Generally.
Nass had like a line of like 75 fans waiting for him. When
and
he
probably signed everything,
yeah,
every single
signed
one
every autograph, took every picture.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nass will be a lot like George, I think, where he will – always be revered at Iowa State.
Definitely. I think he's got a good chance to come out and kind of like cement his own legacy this year.
Man.
Where if he came out and had a really good season, it would make it so we would remember Nas Long for just being a really good player more than just kind of some really good moments that he had.
Well, and this will be interesting to watch. Do you remember the conversation we had late at Welch Avenue Station one night?
Yeah, I definitely remember. Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, so my whole deal with Nass was that he's always kind of been a guy.
Yeah.
He's never shown the ability to consistently be the guy. And I'm still waiting. You're a full believer that he could do that. I want to see it just coming off of the injury and whatnot when you're really cutting and you're really defending and you're doing all that. But, this stuff's encouraging, though. Like, Otzelberger always told me, like, when he looked at Cap City League stats, he didn't care anything that happened in two-point. That doesn't matter. Well, but he does watch three-point percentage.
Yeah.
Because that actually can translate over. So the fact that Nas is launching 30 a game and making, what, 40% of them?
He made 10 in that
That's
game.
Encouraging.
But, he makes a good percentage of his shots.
Well, you were telling me that these guys are all shooting like crap, though.
Yeah, that's what I've been told. They're not shooting well. But I haven't seen the season stats, but I've heard from a couple different people around the league that say the stats are not good.
It seems to me like these guys are taking it less seriously than in the past. And that makes sense because there's not as much league competition.
Well,
like, it's
yeah,
not as good of a league as it was 3-4 years ago.
And I think that not being able to play any games in Ankeny and stuff like that and always having to go to West Des Moines, it kind of hurts the league.
A little fatigue on them.
Yeah.
Why don't they move it to Ankeny?
I think money is a problem. Like, I just don't know that the money situation is
Why wouldn't Ankeny be like, yeah, we'll let you play here and we can sell, like, our booster club can sell candy. That doesn't make
any
sense.
Well, I think the Cap City League usually does that themselves.
Oh, they sell the food.
Yeah, yeah. So.
I could talk to my friends at Bondurant, see if we can work something out.
Yeah, there you go. Then talk to Derek.
I'm just saying, like, if it's hurting the league, like, they need to do – because
something.
The way I see this league's not going to be here in 2-3 years if they don't change something.
Well, and I think Iowa State lobbied to get games moved to Ankeny. But like I said, just – I think logistically it didn't work for the league to be able to do that.
I get it. They've got bills to pay.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense.
Because you have to pay for gym time. You know, you've got to be able to pay the officials. And I think a lot of their money just goes to paying officials.
Yeah.
And that's
– have they thought about expansion? Seriously,
do you think there's any kind of $1 billion clause in their contract where if they add two more teams or four more teams, they'll get $1 billion?
No, I'm serious, though. Has the Cap City League thought about expansion to, like, two more teams? You get a little more sponsorship money. It will water down the league a little
bit. I was just going to say, and we're just talking about how there's not enough good competition, and now you just want to add two more teams to the Cap City.
I don't want to, but I want this league to be here in 3 years. And if Iowa State's getting a little bit antsy about sending their kids to West Des Moines all the time, like, I could see Iowa State at some point saying, just screw it, and we're not going to do it anymore.
Definitely, yeah.
And that's what I'm worried about. Because nobody's going to go and watch the Drake kids play against Urbandale.
Right.
Like, nobody's going to care.
My boy Tyler Stevie's going to play in the Cap City League next year.
If it's there.
Well, I mean, it'll be there. It's just, will it be there in this current format, you know?
I don't know.
But I think you're right, though. If they don't have the Iowa State guys, I mean, the league would probably die, like, in all seriousness.
I mean, like, think about, like, if you're ADIO chiropractic.
Yeah. There's no incentive, really.
I mean, I don't know what those people are paying for these sponsors anyways.
Right.
My whole deal is, like, everybody needs to work together to figure this out.
Yeah.
It's not the league's fault. Like, they're constrained, like, to a budget, and they've got
– Exactly.
Like, they're doing all they can. Iowa State's got to decide, like, one, do we want to do this or not? Two, if we do, which I think they should, it's important for their fans. I truly think these guys are revered by many, like, the way they are, because they can go up and get their autographs and stuff like that. Then they all need to come together and sit at the table and just figure it out.
Yeah, and I think And you've got to really commit to it, you know, where it's like, we're not going to let people just show up whenever they want to show up. We're going to make sure they're there, you know. And I don't think that it's like that right now where, you know, if you miss a night, it's like, okay, whatever. But maybe if there's some kind of consequence where if you're not going.
Man, you missed the glory days of it when, like, Kyle Korver and Craig Brackens and Royce would all just, like, randomly show up.
That's what I hear.
God, it was great.
Yeah, I've heard about the Kyle Korver season quite a bit.
That was fun. Watching him and I think it was Craig go head-to-head. Because that was when Craig was, like, a legit first-round pick.
Yeah. Yeah, my guy Paul Pedersen was telling me about a team when he had Craig Brackens, Mike Taylor, Deontay Garrett, all on the same team, and they were just awful. He said they
were awful?
Yeah, he said they were the worst team in league history.
How?
They just chemistry didn't work.
Didn't work out?
Yeah.
Who was it?
Had the biggest loss they've ever had ever in Cap City League history. It was like 66 points or something like that.
I know, and I like Paul a lot. I think it has to be some – that's got to go on the coach at some point.
I don't know. I mean, he's like a five-time champion.
I'm just saying, Paul, if you're listening, like if you got that much talent in that league, you need to be winning some games.
But, yeah, he's told me before, he's like, I had all these egos, and I was like, I'm good enough coach to handle all this. And then
apparently you're not, Paul.
Nope.
Okay, before we go, Kansas made news today.
Malik Newman.
Transferring to Kansas.
Yeah. Which is honestly no surprise because the Jayhawks were right in it to the very end when he came out of high school. So,
Bill Self.
His final two were Kansas and Western Kentucky.
What in the hell is going on at Western Kentucky? They just got that other five-star.
My uncle Rick Stansbury is the head coach there, former head coach at Mississippi State. Not really my uncle, but his name is spelled the same way.
Didn't they get like a McDonald's All-American this week?
Yeah, I'm dead serious. That's who their coach is. He's a very good coach. He was the coach at Mississippi State for a while.
He's not really your uncle, though.
No, he's not really
my uncle. To clarify for people listening.
No, just I would not be surprised if like in some way there was some like very distant relation because it's spelled the exact same way, and I've never seen it spelled that way.
Now you're claiming Rick Stansbury.
I'll claim Rick Stansbury as a family member because he's a successful college basketball coach.
But he has to be cheating his balls off, though, to get a – why else would a McDonald's All-American go there?
You don't want to go play for the Hilltoppers?
Exactly. There's no reason.
They do have one very illustrious – NCAA tournament
like
win
in
1958
or something like that. Are you talking about when they beat Drake?
Yeah.
But didn't they win a national title back in like the 50s?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I thought that they did.
They could have, but I don't think so.
I thought I saw that. Whatever. Even if they didn't.
Whatever. I don't think that's...
All I'm saying is when I see a five-star kid with all those offers commit to Western Kentucky, I'm sorry.
What about if you saw a five-star kid like Wendell Carter Jr., who's like number two recruit in the country right now? I bet you he ends up at Harvard.
Harvard's different.
Okay. Just because of everybody's
so smart.
It's an
elite academic institution. Yeah. Western Kentucky is not elite at anything other than being Western Kentucky.
They used to be a very good Division I AA football program.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Bobby Petrino was their coach.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we got to go.
All right.
You guys got to do the On the Trail recruiting podcast.
Yeah, we do.
You guys are going to do that right now.
Yeah, exactly.
If you guys watched live, thank you. Thanks to our sponsor, Agrigold. We'll have another one of these bad boys for you next week. Later.